Namaste and welcome back to another episode of The Sapient. Today, we have a life transformation coach. Her name is Cass. So, welcome Cass to the episode.
Thank you very much, Ganesh. How are you doing?
I am doing good. How about you?
Fantastic.
Yes. Thank you so much for being here. I'm so energetic because it's like 12 p.m. in the afternoon here. And thankfully, you live in a time zone where I can do it in the afternoon, right?
Yes, it's 9 a.m. in South Africa.
Yeah, I think that's a very good time zone. Because when I talk to like Americans and, you know, I would say in that particular time zone, it's like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. for me in the morning.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes it's just hard to bring out that energy in that early morning, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm not a night owl like that.
Yeah. And it's also a weird time, like 2 a.m., 3 a.m. It's not night. It's not like, it's not yesterday's night, yes. But it's not, you know, today's morning. And your brain is saying like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, go to sleep.
Yes. Yeah. It's time to sleep. The melatonin is at right. Its highest.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, you said you are from South Africa, right? So which part of South Africa are you from?
Durban is on the east.
Mm-hmm. And do you folks have water over there?
Yes, we do.
Okay. So
you've heard about all the floods that we've had. Yeah, we do. We do.
I thought those floods were because, you know, Westerners were saving water.
We've just had, and I know at the moment in Cape Town as well, there's a lot of flooding. Things happening. So, you know, I know all the planetary changes that are taking place. And I think, you know, we've been hit from many directions. So, but Durban is quite stable. Mm-hmm. You know, we've just had, it's unusual for us. Like we've had a tornado a couple of weeks. It's very, very unusual for us, but it did cause quite a bit of damage. Mm-hmm. So that being sorted at the moment. Yeah.
Got it. Would you say if Americans and Europeans saved more water, Durban would also get flooded?
Well, it's worth a shot, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say it is. You know, we can try that experiment, right? Yeah, because I do not understand this concept of when people say, you know, there are, you know, starving children over in Africa. Starving children everywhere, probably in every country, right?
Yeah. Why you got to attack? You've got to finish all the food on your plate.
Exactly.
It's not going to help them.
Yeah, and leave Africa alone. They are doing good on their own, right? They don't need your, you know, saved water to be exported there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a sad look at the world. I feel like, you know, the activism that's going on, it's good to an extent, but, you know, it does cross over to that kind of la-la land kind of, you know, landscape where it doesn't make sense of what, you know, people are doing anymore. So I was talking about this because you are a life transformation coach, right? And you have been doing it for, you know, just 24 years.
Yeah, just only
24
years.
Yeah, just only 24 years. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Google is older than you. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I cannot even ask you how was the pre-internet era.
Oh, I know about the pre-internet era. I was there.
Yeah. Was it good or was it bad?
You know, it was different. I think each stage in our evolution is right for the souls that choose to be here at this point in time. Prior to that, I would say life was a lot more peaceful because before we had cell phones that everyone can call you on at any hour of the day, you had a landline, you know. Yes. So when you went somewhere, you had complete total peace. Mm-hmm. You were with the people you were meant to be with. And then when you got back home, you'd have the conversations that's meant for there.
Yeah. So
it was a lot more peaceful, I would say.
Yes.
But then, you know, if you look at today, you're in India, I'm in South Africa, we can have this conversation. So yeah. This is right for this time. Because I think information now needs to be sent out in a way that it can go viral, because it's needed.
Yes.
So, you know, this, the times today serve us, and the times back then served us then too.
Yeah, I feel like, okay, let me ask you this. Do you think people enjoyed more solitude back then?
Yes, yeah, definitely more solitude, but also more human connection. You know, we actually took the time to be with family, to be with friends in person, and I think that is missing today. And you can see the effect that it's having on society. Today, there are more people that are lonelier than ever before. And as a result, depression and suicide is at its highest levels that it's ever been. And I think really this is because we've lost the human connection. So it's easy for us to just get on a phone, get on our computers, have a conversation. It's really not the same as when we are face to face in the same room having a conversation with someone.
Got it. Okay, let me ask you this question. Since you mentioned, you know, suicide rates and depression, right? There is a counter argument that people say it was just underreported back then, but people were just as sad as today.
It's possible that people were just as sad as they are today, because the challenges were different, of course. But something like suicide rate, you know, you can't say it was underreported, because that is something that's a fact, right? So I just feel that right now in our human evolution, it's happening more and more, because it is to wake all of us up. It's to wake us up to see that we are losing connection, not just with each other, but we're losing connection with ourselves. We're losing connection with a higher power. And that is why we are feeling so alone. You'll find that there are people even in great jobs, running their own businesses, but they still feel inherently alone. So this is what needs to be addressed in our society today.
Yes. Do you think that lack of physical activity can also lead to, you know, such state?
Yes, of course, right? Because we know when we're physically active, there's certain hormones being released, so it makes us feel good when the serotonin is there, when, you know, we feel better when we're moving. I think there's also another reason that, for me, I see time and time again in my work, right? When we lose focus or connection with our soul purpose. We don't know who we are. We don't know why we're here. And that leads to this feeling of, I'm lost. I'm alone. I don't know what next. I don't know what's my path, where to go. Where am I supposed to be? And you see that kind of disconnect. So when we go within, so instead of just being constantly outwardly focused, we take the time and we go within, and we start asking those deeper questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And when we start receiving that intuitive hits about why we're here, and then we take physical action, right? Now we're taking steps onto that path. That's when we start feeling alive. We start feeling inspired. We know that I'm here for a reason. I'm on a mission. I mean, life is amazing when you're on that path. But when you're off the path, that is when you're feeling completely alone, lost. I have no idea why I'm here. I'm just breathing the air and taking up space.
Yeah, but of course, there have been very pessimistic philosophers too throughout the history, right? Where they have actually questioned the same things that, you know, you just questioned and given rather a bleak kind of perspective, right? Where it's like you really don't matter, you know. And do you think it this might be, you know, a weird take, but do you think a balance between negativity and positivity has to thrive, or is it like no negativity in life?
You know, I've heard the stories of, you know, we're just here to survive, okay? But I really believe in evolution. And I think there was a time mm-hmm. when we were under threat of being eaten by animals, so we had to survive, right? But we're not living in those times. Now we don't have, as much as people believe there are lions walking around in our streets in South Africa, that is not true.
Yes, no, that's true in India, though.
I thought it was tigers there.
Yeah, we have lions too. Yeah, anyway, sorry.
Yeah, so I think in terms of evolution, what has happened is, if we go back mm-hmm. To 10,000 years back, we would have seen that the feminine energy was dominant on our planet, mm-hmm. right? And then came a time when women were persecuted and accused of being witches and, you know, mass killings and hangings and burning mm-hmm. of women really suffered at that time. And it was just simply to suppress that feminine energy, which mm-hmm. was misunderstood. Then we've lived with a toxic masculine energy, or the patriarchy, for mm-hmm. the last few thousand years. Mm-hmm. So we are at a point in our evolution now where we have to bring these two energies, heal them, and bring them into harmony with each other. Mm-hmm. When we do that, then we feel a sense of wholeness. Mm-hmm. Very often people feel like something's missing, so mm-hmm. they think they need another person to complete them and make them whole.
Yes.
But it's one aspect of yourself mm-hmm. that you have suppressed. Right. So if we're in our masculine energy, and this goes for both men and women, because mm-hmm. today I find a lot of women are predominantly in their masculine energy. So mm-hmm. it's left brained. It's the logical. It is about thinking, analyzing, making decisions, setting goals, striving, taking action, giving. That's masculine. Mm-hmm. But then what is the feminine energy? The feminine is very, very powerful, but we have mm-hmm. suppressed this energy, and it is receptive, firstly. It is intuitive. Mm-hmm. It's creative. It's nurturing. Mm-hmm. It's about community. It's everybody yeah. wins. So can you imagine if we healed this wounded feminine and mm-hmm. brought in the masculine? Instead of toxic, we made this a balanced masculine, and mm-hmm. we bring this together in ourselves.
Yeah.
Before we even start talking about relationships, right? In mm-hmm. ourselves, if we could bring that together. So I'm using my intuition. So mm-hmm. let's say I have a business and I want to take another step in this business. I'm going to use my intuition, so the ideas are flowing. Mm-hmm. I'm being creative, and then I take these ideas and I pull in my masculine energy to take action, mm-hmm. to strategize, analyze, take action, right? Mm-hmm. Can you see now I'm working with my whole brain? Mm-hmm. I'm working with both my masculine and feminine. So I am in a place of wholeness.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Right?
Yeah.
So I feel we're at a point in our evolution where it's time for us to stop blaming. Stop mm-hmm. looking outside ourselves and saying, you need to change and you need to do things differently. But say, mm-hmm. I am part of this evolution. What can mm-hmm. I do
yeah.
to make my life better, but also to work on making the community that I live in better?
Got
all
it.
The relationships that I'm in, you know?
Mm-hmm. So getting back to your first point where you said for thousands of years, we were living in a patriarchal society, right? There is this whole argument that says that in macro systems we might have in patriarchal, but in nuclear decisions, you know, that in terms of, you know, when you break down society as a family, the power was still centralized around women. So it is not a, you know, patriarchy as say, but it is a mix of, you know, matriarchy and then in macro leading to a patriarchy. So what is your take on that? Because, to be short, the whole argument says that it was not like one particular energy, right? It was just a mixture of both things that led to a lot of things in the last, I would say 10 centuries.
Personally, I think that's different in different cultures. If you take America as an example, right? And America thinks they're the
leaders. Very bad example.
All of this. Okay. Personally, I don't believe they are, because if you look at their systems, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are only now coming to a point where they're starting to fight for equal wage for mm-hmm. equal work. The women still earn less than the men do for the same work. All right.
So you can see that the. Because that study has been debunked, right?
That is the way it is.
No, that was debunked.
It is. In South Africa, we. No. At the moment, I think women earn, it's something like 70 cents to the dollar.
Yeah, but in that particular study. They did not take into consideration the amount of hours worked. That was the,
discussion. Now
yeah, I'm just being, you know, devil's advocate here.
Yes.
Because yeah, I like to be, right? Because that is my kind of work, as a presenter. So it's like that particular study that people mention when they say women earn less than men. Apparently, they did not take into consideration the amount of time, right, that, you know, both people worked.
Mm.
So that study is somehow still incomplete, but you know, let's agree and say, okay, you know, like women do still earn less than men. Yeah, just to move it forward.
Yeah, in South Africa, it was like, geez, I would say about 30 years ago, there was that difference between what men and women earned for the same job, and that's been that was fixed 30 years ago in South Africa, is what I'm saying. America is still having their debates and discussions about so I think it's different in different cultures. So what is expected, but even though women are in a lot of women today are more educated, they're in leadership roles, they're running their own businesses and things like that. When it comes to the home, they're still expected to be the one that's taking care of the home and taking care of the kids. You know, so you can see that difference now. So I'm not saying this needs to be healed now. Relationships need to be partnerships. So when we come into relationship, it shouldn't be, I'm not talking about 50-50, because I don't ever believe that we can be 50% masculine, 50% feminine. It should never be that, because if it is, there'll be no attraction whatsoever.
Yeah.
Right? For there to be attraction between partners, one has to be slightly dominant masculine and one has to be slightly dominant feminine. And that creates the polarity, which creates the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So if we have two masculines, they're going to be butting heads. There's going to be a lot of arguments, fight for control, debates, and so on. If you have two feminine, then they're going to be in a very nice creative space, community, and all of that, but they're not really going to progress much. Okay? So when you have the both and they are harmonizing rather than 50% of each, right? So when the man is slightly dominant masculine and the woman is slightly dominant feminine, now that attraction, the fireworks, that's there.
Mm-hmm.
And these two people come together and they can create these epic relationships.
Mm-hmm. Got it. Yeah, I feel like that makes sense. But I also feel like a lot of people would be against it, right? Just because they think they know better.
There's a difference between a fixed mindset and a growth mindset, right?
Yeah,
the fixed mindset is, I know how things are supposed to be. This is it, right and wrong, black and white.
Yeah.
That's how it always was. That's how it's always going to be, right? That's a fixed mindset.
Yeah.
A growth mindset is, I'm on a journey and I'm open and I'm willing to grow, to learn, to evolve, to step into higher states of who I am as a person. That's why we all came here. The unfortunate thing for people with a fixed mindset is these are the ones that it's like when we look at the universe, you get a whisper first. If you're off track, you're, as a soul, you came here to learn and grow and evolve, right? That part is a given. But if you have a fixed mindset and you don't want to learn and grow voluntarily, then the universe will clap you on the head.
Yes.
Okay. It's going to say, here's a challenge for you. The challenge is meant to wake you up so that you can start growing.
Yeah.
But if you refuse, it's going to send a brick.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to send the whole wall crashing down on you. So this shows up in our life as extreme financial problems or extreme relationship problems or extreme health problems. Right? This is how it shows up eventually when we are not listening, when we're not growing voluntarily. It has to eventually manifest in the physical body or as a physical problem in your life. Then we start questioning, why is this happening to me? You know, that's when we start waking up. We start asking the right questions then. But up until that time, we can, you know, call everyone that's moving forward. We can call them whatever names, you know, airy fairy.
I think I can, give a
theorist,
I can probably give a prime example about this, right? Because if you look at how South Africa talks about racism and its history, and comparatively how United States talks about, you know, or doesn't talk about its history of oppression, I think it is very similar to what you're saying, right? Because here is one group of people who say, you know, it happened, right? You know, it's not like, If we don't talk about it, it's going to go away. So we would rather discuss it and, you know, make fun of it and, you know, get rid of it rather than hiding it in history books and saying, let's not talk about it. Right. And, you know, I can, that's the macro example I feel I can give, you know, give for this particular situation. But if you look at a person, what you said makes a lot of sense, because when a person becomes too much comfortable, right, life does throw something that's going to make them uncomfortable, right? You know, they're like, it's like nature's way of saying, okay, you have been here for a long time, you know, it's better you start doing something, right?
Yeah, it happens, you know, on the personal level, it happens within countries on the macro level, because if you look at the that's going on in the world today, it's like there has to be that much of devastation and destruction happening for people to say, I choose peace.
Yes.
Can you see the awakening? But it's so much destruction before we can take a stand for peace. It's also about oneness. You know, the only reason we go at each other, whether it is your personal relationships or countries fighting each other, is because we believe we are different. You are different from me. You look different. You speak differently. You're from a different country. You have a different religion. You're a different color. So you are different. So my way is right. Your way is wrong. And as soon as we do that, we are working from our ego of separation.
Yeah.
Right. And therefore, we have the world that we're living in today. But when we start doing our inner work as individuals, firstly, we start to realize the law of one, that we are actually all one. When we realize that, we stop fighting each other because I'm only fighting myself.
Yeah.
I won't hurt you because I'm hurting myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think we're a long way off from that being a global realization, but we can start on an individual level, and that's where it has to start, right?
Yeah.
On an individual level, and then within families, and then within communities, then within countries, it will spread in that way. It's like the theory of the 100th monkey. You know that one?
Nope.
So it's critical mass, right? But the story is quite interesting because it's about these monkeys that were on an island and they used to like the sweet potatoes. So they would dig up the sweet potatoes and eat that, but it was always had sand on it. So this one little monkey was playing in the river with the sweet potato in his hand and the sand washed off. And he realized, oh, it's so much nicer without the sand. So every time he got a sweet potato, he went to the river to go and wash this. And then he could have, and the other monkeys started seeing this and they started following the pattern. So when it got to, well, it's called the 100th monkey, right? The monkeys on other islands that had no contact with this group of monkeys at all started doing exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's called critical mass, right? Mm-hmm. So when enough human beings start believing that we are one, or start wanting peace more than war, or whatever change we want to make, when enough, when we reach that critical mass, it spreads to human beings across the globe, whether we're in direct contact or not.
Got it.
That's evolution.
Got it. So you spoke about oneness, right? Like being from the same species, I would say, as human beings. Do you think our evolution, because of the result of our evolution, right, humans strongly have this belonging, which is called as tribalism, right? In any conversation, they have to belong to one of the two, camps, right? Or, I would say, group of people. So, do you think that we can suppress that particular feeling of tribalism and, strive to be one?
I think there is an awakening that's happening on our planet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are very aware of it. If you look at the material that's coming forward, the new podcasts that are out there, where people are talking about the law of one more than ever before, where we understand that we come from one source. We all come from one source, and it's more than just human. You know, it includes the plants, it includes the animals, it includes our planet. So when we start feeling one with the earth, we stop destroying the earth.
Mm-hmm.
When we feel one with animals, we stop being cruel to animals. When we feel one with each other as human beings, now we love, we support, we grow together. It's a shift that's going to take, I don't know, decades.
Mm-hmm.
Centuries,
yeah,
for that shift to happen, because we have to admit there are a lot of human beings who are in that fixed mindset, who are destroying the planet, who are destroying each other, at war. All of that is still happening, and it's really rife. But as we started our conversation pre-internet and now internet, right? Now, when something like that happens, the whole world knows about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the past, when that was happening, we didn't know about it.
Mm-hmm.
The whole world knows about it. Now you can see there's a shift in energy that's happening throughout the world.
When
there is a disaster happening somewhere, remember the tsunami in India a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And we wonder, like all those people that died, when we look at it from a soul perspective, those souls chose to come here at that time to die in those circumstances, because it created a wave of compassion across the entire globe.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly the whole world is feeling this compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see how that would raise the frequency on our planet?
Yeah. I agree with that.
It's a disaster.
But it
serves a purpose.
Okay, let me be like the devil's advocate for a second here.
Aren't you always?
Yes, I always have to be, right? Do you think this whole shift of, I would say, mindset within people and also within societies stems from the fact that we do recognize that we are capable of destroying each other, and it stems from the fear of being, vanished like that?
Well, it depends on how far down the rabbit hole you want to go with this, right?
Yeah.
First rodeo. It's not the first time human beings are here on this planet.
Mm.
If you've heard of like the Atlantean times and Lemuria, we've had a chance before and we botched it up royally. And yes, we did disappear,
Yes.
So yes, I think that ingrained fear is there within us.
Mm-hmm.
So now we are at the cusp. Do we get it right or do we disappear again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
And I think, and as a soul, if we've been there,
mm-hmm.
so now we're saying, I think this is the time we get it right.
Right.
So as long as critical mass thinking in this way, it's not just a mindset shift, it's a consciousness shift.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, because since 1950s,
Finally got you to agree with me.
Yeah, no, I always agree, right? But I feel like it's my duty to present, you know, the other side of the conversation.
Yes.
Yeah, because since 1950s, right, every decade, we have had at least one event, right, which was human made or human organized that could have wiped us out.
Yes.
Right? We have had nuclear threats almost every decade, and now it feels like every year. Right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people ask me, you know, whether would you support Israel or Palestine, right? It's a very huge thing. You know, people ask. I'm like, my opinion really doesn't matter because I am not the one calling shots. Right? And they say, no, you know, Gandhi said that, you know, change starts from your house. And I'm like, it really doesn't in today's world. Right? Because, you know, it's just people in power, you know, taking that decisions. And if I said, you know, I like Israel or I like Palestine, right? The other person would give me hate for no reason. Right? I don't live in that area. I am unaffected by it. So therefore, my opinion should not matter. Right? But if you look at, you know, today's social media, again, coming back to the tribalism point, where people are like, okay, I either like this or that. Right? Like, there is no middle ground. My question was, because, you know, we talked about pre-internet era, you know, the stone age of the modern humans. Yeah. You know, if you saw negativity back then, right, it was maybe in your village, maybe in your community, or maybe in, you know, media, right? That was the extent of you listening or, you know, getting to know negative things. But in today, any part of the world, a negative thing happens, it pops up on our consciousness, right? So do you think this kind of zoomed out negativity is also affecting our ability to, as you said, be one?
You know, when it comes to war, that's your toxic masculine energy, right? So we can either look at that and say, I'm on one side or the other side, and then we start our own little wars with each other because of which side we're on. The same thing happens in sport. The same thing happens when two companies have the same product. It's the competition mindset. It's me or you. One wins, one loses. But we are now at a time, like I said, the feminine energy is rising on our planet right now. So this is about coming together as a community, coming together to see how can we resolve this in a way that it is win-win, not win-lose anymore. So we all win. We all come together. Mm-hmm. And I think when we look at things like the war and the competition and the two sides and so on, the question is now, how do we create a world where war does not exist? That should be the bigger question rather than side am I on?
Yeah. Okay. You know? So now, again, let me be the negative boy. So let me...
You love this.
Yeah. Because, you know, I read philosophy and I understand the positivity and negativity both. So my question is, what is your response to those people who would say that we, you know, we came to this particular stage of evolution because of competition, right? Because even a human is born with conflict. It's not a, you know, positive journey, you know, making it to a, you know, newborn baby. My question is, if we got rid of the most basic instinct, right, that is to compete, do you think it would flatten the curve of evolution? Because, of course, there is, you know, like finite resources on the planet, right?
So it's for me, it's not about positive and negative. It is about low frequency and high frequency, right? So if you go back and you look at the work that David Hawkins did, the emotional scale where they measured the frequency of emotions. Mm-hmm. So right at the bottom of your scale, you have shame, you have fear, guilt, blame, anger. All of that is below the neutral mark, right? So we have lived in that frequency for a very long time. And that is what we see as the result in the world today. The highest frequencies, when we come just above neutral, to we come to willingness, we come to acceptance, then we come to love, we come to gratitude, joy, we come to peace. Those are the highest frequencies. So it is a choice for us. And I'm not ever saying that one emotion is wrong and one is right, one is negative, one is positive. It's not. If you lose someone you love dearly, then you're going to go into grief, which is a low frequency. And it is about being with the emotion and feeling it. If somebody hurts us, we will feel the anger. Mm-hmm. It is not about denying the anger and mm-hmm. saying, oh, that's negative, I mustn't feel that, I must only feel love and joy. No, no, no. We need to feel the anger, but we do not act out in anger.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if we feel the anger within ourselves, it is, okay, I'm feeling angry right now. Mm-hmm. I can feel it in my body. Mm-hmm. Where in my body am I feeling it? Feeling it in my chest, or I'm feeling it in my gut, or I'm feeling it in my throat. You know, I'm feeling this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why am I feeling this? And most of the time with anger, we feel it because somebody's crossed our boundaries.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so great. Okay, somebody crossed my boundaries. I'm really, really angry. But the big question is, okay, so how do I deal with this anger that I'm feeling? It's either mm-hmm. I've got to set firmer boundaries. I've got to speak my truth more clearly. I don't have to go out and fight. I don't have to go out and destroy the person that has hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
But I need to take care of me. I need to bring up my inner warrior energy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you see that? Yes. So it, in me sitting with that, what we call a negative emotion, that I call a low frequency emotion,
mm-hmm.
is... we are growing because of it. We're mm-hmm. not acting out in it.
Got it.
And that is how I feel as human beings. We mm-hmm. grow and we evolve.
Got it.
It's about us being real and authentic. It's not about us saying, oh, I'm not going to be negative, I'm going to be positive all the time. It's not Pollyanna.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Certainly, certainly.
You have to be real that the world has both sides to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I read somewhere, they said that the consciousness and satisfaction can only exist when the world is abundant, it's, you know, of resources. Because as soon as it switches to scarcity, right, history has shown us that people lose their minds, right? So my question is, let's say you were God, metaphorically, right? And you saw the COVID situation happening.
What do you mean metaphorically? I am.
Yeah, but a real God, you know, who can control people. And you saw the COVID situation happening, right? And if you saw that people were fighting with each other for tissue papers, right? What would be your move? What would you do?
You know, I see creation and God a little bit differently, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I see God not as a man in the sky or a woman in the sky, you know, not with human qualities. I think we take our humanness and we project it onto God. I see God as creativity. So you can create anything. You have free will to do that. You can create desire, or you can create a lack and limitation in your life, or you can create abundance. Whatever it is you choose to focus on, God is there saying yes. So if I believe in lack, oh, there's not enough resources, not enough money, there's not enough jobs, there's, you know, we are struggling, the economy is struggling. The more attention I put on that, then this divine infinite power says, yes, that is what you're focusing on. You'll get more of that.
Okay. But sorry to disturb you. I feel like a single person in a society can switch from us a mindset of scarcity to abundance. But I feel like as a society or as a community, we cannot do that, because it is real that, you know, there are not enough jobs out there, right? Like, that's a reality. So if the whole community or a group of people switch their mindset, I'm just saying this, right, as a negative person, you know, if we switch our mindset from scarcity to abundance, don't you think that's leading people in a wrong way, where they're expecting something to happen? It's not going to happen at all. It's like, there is limited food, but we are saying everybody will be fed.
It will only not happen if you believe that you are just here as a powerless person reacting to everything life throws you. But when you realize that you are here not just to react to life, but as a creator of life, when you take back your power as a creator, then you realize that what I focus my thoughts on, what I focus my emotions on, what I focus my actions on, I will create. It will manifest in this world. Then we start, and yes, we'll always start on an individual basis, because you'll see in the worst of times, there are still people that are living abundantly.
Yeah, it's but that's very... Yeah, but those people did do cruel things, right? If you have to live in abundant mode in a scarcity situation, you have to do, you know, some shitty things.
Yeah, you'll always get both, right? We live in this world of duality. So you'll always get people that will make their money by using other people and harming other people. But you'll also find, where I call this conscious wealth, right? Conscious wealth means that I work on the principle of four W's. So is the work that I'm doing, or the service or the product that I'm offering, is it a win for me? That means I am living my purpose, and I'm taking my expertise, my talents, my gifts, and I'm giving off that, and I'm getting paid well for it. Then is it a win for my client or my customer? So they are paying for something. Do they feel happy? I've got a good product or a good service for them that I've paid. Then it has to be a win for the company, okay? Because the company is taking care of a lot of people. So does the company win as a result of us providing this product or service? And the last one is it a win for the greater good? All right. So my product or service is not harming other people. It's not harming the planet. It's not harming. It's rather creating and putting out something that is. That is good.
Yeah.
So if I work on the principle of the four W's, now I'm creating conscious wealth.
Okay, got
that
it.
That is true abundance. Yeah.
And let me ask you this, right? Right now, can you name one multinational corporation which does that? Or a business that is successful in large scale doing what you said? Apart from, you know, of course, nonprofits.
I don't know if there are corporations, I don't know, that are living into those principles. Like I say, we're on the cusp right now. So we are shifting consciousness from that kind of everything is for me. We must win. We must destroy everyone else. We're moving out of that consciousness into a consciousness where it is a win for all.
But do you think like, capitalism will allow us to do that? So. Because capitalism thrives on the, you know, part of conflict.
you know, like I'm saying, we're on the cusp of this shift happening. So we can either look at what was and say, but this has always been. Yes, it's been like that for thousands of years. But now we've got to start saying, what can I do as an individual to create this shift? What can, if this is my business, can I ensure that I run my business on the four W's, right? Then if I'm doing that, and as a transformational coach, if I'm working with another entrepreneur, I'm now sharing this 4W model, and I'm saying, let's see what we can do to shift your mindset. And then how can you take that into your company? So if I'm working with entrepreneurs, we're starting somewhere. We can't say this is how it's always been. So you know what? We throw our hands up in the air and give up. We came here for a reason. You as a soul, me as a soul, we chose this particular time in human history born here. This time. And we can't sit here and say, well, you know, the problems are too big. I'm just one little person. I can't change that. Gandhi was one little person.
Yeah, but sorry to disturb you, but also the person who got, you know, clapped by Boeing for, you know, being a whistleblower was also one person, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my real question is, do you think Do you think in this capitalistic environment where people will do whatever it takes, right, to retain their businesses and values, you know, no matter how corrupt it is, do you think that kind of positive attitude towards building a bigger brand, or, you know, like worldwide known brand, do you think it would work?
With the work I do, I 100% believe it will work, right? Otherwise, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I 100% believe it because let's take us on a small scale, right, with relationships. The divorce rate right now, first marriages is 50%, second marriage is 67%, third marriage is 71%. That's the divorce rate. When I look at that, I say, hey, guys, this model is broken. It is broken. So are you going to continue thinking one day I'm going to find the perfect person, fall in love, live happily ever after? Are you going to carry on in that Hollywood style of believing that that's what relationships are? Or are you going to stop and say, look, I want a relationship that is deeply meaningful, where there is mutual support, there's mutual understanding, we build a life together. I want that. So in order for me to have that, what do I need to do? I need to learn how to communicate on a deeper level. I need to learn how to resolve conflict so it's a win-win. I need to learn what's my attachment style, what's my love language. You know, how do we consciously build this relationship? When we make that decision, we will create a relationship like none of the others that have come before us. So the question is, what do you want? And we have to ask ourselves that on an individual basis first before we can bring that into our businesses and into corporations and into countries. The change has to happen on an individual basis because we're responsible for ourselves. We can only make decisions for ourselves. You
know? Yeah.
But your questions. I absolutely love your questions.
Yeah, I'm sorry if I had to go there, but you know, it's my work to present whatever is reality, right? Anyways, you seem to be more evolved than me, you know, in these matters.
I see you there with the cattle prod, you know. Let's see what's going to trigger you.
Yeah, no, but it's also like, you know, I feel like the conversation needs to be happening in terms of real life, right? Because we get these coaches who are all about positivity. I'm like, yeah, but it's not going to work in real life, right? No. It's like this, right? You're training for Olympics in your backyard. It's not going to happen, right? So that's what you know is, of course, is my take. So if people want to get in touch with you, to take your service, how do they do that, and what do you provide in terms of value?
I do provide one-on-one coaching, but that's quite limited. I do group coaching a lot more now. So I have two programs. One is money focused. So it's called Becoming a Conscious Millionaire, where we have the four W's, soul purpose, all of that there. And then I have another program called Consciously Creating Epic Relationships. These are for, you know, if you look at people, as I said, divorce rate is so high, people come out of those relationships. And the last thing you should do is jump into a new relationship because you're bringing all of that baggage with you, all of that hurt with you. We need to heal first. We need to release first. We need to learn all the skills I spoke about before we even attempt to be in another relationship. It's authenticity, positivity, right? So becoming authentic, becoming the best version of yourself that you can possibly be. And then it's working with you as a person. We can't fix other people and we can't fix all of the world's problems, but we can become the best versions of ourselves that we can possibly be. Then we take that best version into relationships, into work, into society.
Got it. And how do the people, like, if they want to reach you?
It's info@nextlevelup.co.za, or I have a Facebook group called The Love Evolution.
Got it.
Evolution, yeah, not yes. Revolution. revolution would be masculine, right? So it's evolution. I love evolution.
Is it? I don't know. I don't know, right? Because the prohibition was brought forth by women. And although it was a revolution.
Remember, we're talking energy. We're not talking men, women.
Mm-hmm.
Men have masculine and feminine. Women have masculine and feminine.
Yes.
Today, the majority of women have dominant masculine energy.
Got it.
So women that are competing with each other are in their masculine.
Yeah, I agree. So to my audience, guys, if you want to talk to Cass about anything, right, her email will be in the link description. So, or even in the web, episode description, even in YouTube comments, wherever you're watching, you'll be able to find it. So I would say just get in contact with her. She definitely looks like a person who is better than me. So yeah, I can vouch for her. Yeah. And Cass, thank you so much for being here and taking your time. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you, Ganesh. You know, this has been fun. I love your questions. I love the energy that comes from it. You know, it's it's brilliant. You're doing a fantastic job. Yeah, thank you
so much for being here. And to my audience, guys, this is the end of the episode. And if you made it so far, thank you so much. And until next episode, take care and bye-bye.